Tommy Runs, and this is Relay, the Relay Pod, and I'm here with Kafuzi, Peter, and Marcus, and it's just the fellas. We're just going to be kicking it today, talking about all the stuff that you want to hear about, you know. I wish this was live so you guys could tell us what you want to hear about, but we're just going to riff. We're going to have some fun. What are you guys looking forward to, like, today? That's the thing we can start off at. What are you looking forward to today?
Ooh.
Right now? Yeah. Like, for you in your personal lives, work lives, running lives, whatever.
I'm ready to go. I was just going to
hear it. Looks like... You go, Peter. I've got one.
I'm paused. I'm just thinking. You all go.
Marcus, go ahead.
Right. It's nearly the end of my working day anyways. It's like nearly 5 o'clock as we're recording this. So I'm looking forward to a steak. I've got sirloin steak for dinner. Mm. I'll go for my run first, and then we'll have a steak afterwards. So I'm looking forward to that.
That sounds all right. Nice.
All right. How do you like your steak, Marcus? Is like, what, are you a well done guy?
We're about to get Marcus canceled. Like, if you add like a well done with ketchup, you're done. You're done.
Ketchup and fries.
Medium. Medium for me. A little bit of salt and pepper.
Okay.
You know, we're trying to figure out what we're gonna have to accompany it, really. So yeah, maybe some rice, maybe some pasta. I'm not sure yet.
All right, that sounds delicious. Mm. That sounds good.
But I might hold off for the ketchup. I mean, that's just too much ketchup. Ketchup mayonnaise.
Oh my god!
Let's get that ketchup sponsorship.
You know what? I would love a ketchup sponsorship. I love ketchup, and it's very popular in my house. But you know, just not with the steaks. Unless if you're a kid, my kids eat it that way.
Do you put ketchup like on everything? Like, are you like the old lady that with the hot sauce?
Yeah, I put ketchup on pretty much everything. I like it on my egg sandwich. I feel like a ketchup is a must. I like to put it in my fried rice as well.
Really?
Makes it very tasty. Mm-hmm.
I got to try that. I've never heard of that one.
What's that?
What that, like, I think that people may find weird, maybe or not, is with fries, I'll do ketchup, like, with mayo, like, mixed up
in the ketchup.
That's not weird.
Fries.
I do that.
That's not weird. Okay. I just never see anybody like slap a glob of like mayo on their plate like I do, you know? And then when I went vegan, I was like, what are we going to do, Jack? You know? And veganaise is actually a really good substitute for that. So it still works out for me.
There you go. There you go.
I think you could actually buy it like pre-mix as well.
Yeah.
No. As well. I need the marble effect. You know what I'm saying? Okay. I need that, like, that artistic marble effect in there. That's so fair. You dip that fry in, you can see. Like, I don't want anybody to just think, you know, I'm eating, like, Thousand Island dressing. You know what I'm saying?
Are there any favorites you're bringing to Asia with you? Like, any staples that you're like, this will keep me going?
I'm bringing blueberry bagels. I mean, because... One time when I went to Berlin, the mistake was that I just assumed that they had the snacks that I would eat, like, before a race, you know, and they just don't, like, and then some of the bagels that they had there, since I'm vegan, they all had like egg and stuff in it, you know, like they cooked, you know, just cook things differently there. So, they don't have like the super processed, whatever, you know, stuff we got. So I grabbed bagels today and like normal peanut butter. That
Wait,
I'm gonna take with
you bought
me.
Bagels today. Today is what, the 19th?
I leave tomorrow.
Oh, Saturday's race is Sunday's race is already sunk.
Tokyo Marathon though is like March 3rd.
I'm doing Osaka first.
He's doing two
marathons. I know, but like you're buying bagels now for a race 2 weeks from now.
Oh. No, I'm running Osaka Marathon first. So like would I just not buy them? I gotta eat bagels before Osaka too.
I mean, you said they were highly processed, so I guess I'll be okay.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I think they could.
I like bagels
this
gonna
idea.
Last that long.
They sit on the shelf.
Okay.
Bagels like sit on the shelf for however long it takes for somebody to buy them, right?
But you know how like storylines need a little bit of tension. I could see like I'd be happy to tune into reels that's like Tommy's landed in Japan. And he's on the hunt, 7-Eleven to 7-Eleven, to find like his pre-race nutrition.
Because
they have
Done.
So much good stuff. So
Done.
Much good stuff.
Have you learned like
good.
How
I'll
to ask?
That.
Have you learned to ask how if things are vegan in Japanese? I think you should learn how to say that because
I'm gonna do that. Is this vegan?
I was so surprised when I was in Tokyo last year how little people speak English.
You just blew. Yeah.
It's one of the biggest cities in the world, right? And you would think that I'm not saying like everyone should speak English, but, I've been to cities in Europe where I like will try to break out my French or my Spanish, and they'll be like, "That was cute," you know, and then they'll just start talking to me in English. In Japan, it's not really that way. So you should figure out the word for vegan.
Okay, so you can just appreciate that
vegan, you know.
And even like, in apps, yeah, you can point to a symbol.
Oh, true.
That you're,
true.
Yeah.
No, but I definitely want to learn how to say pronouncing it. I want to learn how to say hello. My name is Tommy Runs. Is this vegan? That's what I want. I want the whole sentence.
You know? People are gonna think your name is Tommy Runs. Is this vegan?
they're like, it's a long name. It's okay. We're here for it.
Hi, my name is Tommy Runs. Is this vegan? Well, hello, Tommy Runs. My name. Like what?
Mister, is this vegan? Is
last name is this vegan? What are you looking forward to today, Mike?
My kids have off from school today, but I think the library's open. So I think I'm going to try to take them to the library. We haven't been in a while. And I sleep a lot better when I read a physical book. And I'm like, I haven't had like a physical book in a little bit. So I'm looking forward to some good sleep, hopefully. And then I got another shoe that I'm going to be looking at. It's under embargo, so I can't tell you yet. But I'm going to start messing around with that shoe today. I'll probably run it tomorrow. So I'm excited about that. So that's fun.
I have a question about receiving shoes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have a shoe size, but then with the variability, how often would you say they arrive and they fit and you're not like, oh, I wish I could upsize or downsize a half size?
It's very rare. Because at this point in like 2024, like getting the right size shouldn't be a huge problem. That being said, there's one brand, and I'm not going to call them out right now, but they now send me like a 9 and a 9.5 most of the time for a lot of their shoes because it's just all over the place.
I'm running a pair of shoes that were sent to me, and I think they're good, but I think they're a little long, and I just feel like I'm not engaging. I don't know. I had a frustrating run this morning because I'm like, I think I like this shoe. This is like a weird issue to have in the world where a shoe comes to you. You didn't go into the store and, you know, try it on and fit it perfectly. I just think it's a little long. And so then I'm not like engaging the gel and such in
like
the right way.
Sweet
and
spot then, or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like, and so then I'm messing with the shoelaces. Then my foot sort of hurts. I don't know if you've had these runs where you're just frustrated.
Is this shoe you're like, trying for Boston or is it just?
No, it's just easy running. I just feel like a little clunky. Yeah. So I'm like, it's like world's smallest violin for like, free shoes came your way and
maybe it's the wrong size, you know.
Oh.
Well, I mean, for me, I think that's all valuable information, right? Because a lot of people, believe it or not, or like it or not, have to buy their shoes online. They might not have running retail near them that carries enough of a variety of shoes. So they might have to buy shoes that way. And I feel like even more important for the brands to really get it right. And to the extent that sometimes shoes are a little bit long or a little bit too snug, I consider that to be like, that's the way that they intended it. Like you could have tapered fit, skinny fit, baggy jeans, carpenter jeans, cargo pants, whatever you want. Those are all, the waist size is still going to be the same. The fit is going to be different. And so when a shoe feels too tight, I'll say like, look, they will either mess this up. And I usually don't default to they messed it up, but I usually default to like, this is how they intend for this to fit for this shoe because something that's very snug could make a shoe feel more nimble. If it feels short up front, that can also add to a sense of agility to a shoe. Or they might make it kind of baggy because they want it to be roomy because they're going for a certain kind of vibe for the shoe, overall sensation. So that's how I try to evaluate it. Every once in a while, sometimes like they just made the shoe too small. And so I have to ask for another size. And if they're like, you know, it's really early, we don't have them yet, then I could either write the review as is and say like, you know, you might want to bump up to another size, or I'll hold the review until I can get another size. And so that's kind of
you guys
hard. I think, well, yeah, let's go to Gary's shoe size story.
Yeah.
And then we'll
Gary's shoe size story. So we're in Orlando at the Fly Lab with Hoka, and they bring out the boxes. The boxes don't have shoe sizes on them. They're just like the pretty boxes with like the print on it or whatever. And so I get my shoes, I put them on. He gets his shoes, puts them on. We go outside to shoot some content. We run around in the dark and all this. And then, you know, we didn't go very far. So it's like a weird question to ask, like, you know, how did you like the shoe? But it's like you can kind of get first thoughts of it. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. I'm starting to get a hot spot. I'm like, dude, we've barely run like a quarter mile. Like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like this is going to be weird. And so he gets back in there and I'm like, I looked at his feet. I'm like, what size shoes are those? He put on a shoe that was 1.5 sizes too big and didn't immediately go like, this is the wrong size. Like he just laced him up a little tighter than he would like, and then just ran around for a while in them. And I'm like, bro, how did you not realize this is a size and a half too big? Size and a half is egregious.
Size and a half is a lot.
That's a lot. But that's what I mean. He wouldn't be like even engaged. There's a rocker. There's all sorts of geometry. And he's like just riding out
just
the back.
Just flopping around, yeah.
I don't know. It becomes so personal. But I realized about myself, there's a certain type of bad mood I get in when the shoe is like a little bit long. And so I'm just like a little bit awkward and it's slapping on the ground. And I've noticed this over different brands, different. It's just like, oh, no. For whatever reason, this pair of shoes is too long. And that's the consistent awkwardness. Anyways, it's a whole thing. But yeah, I agree. Like the ordering online and then hoping that they're true to size kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah. People ask me a lot, like in my DMs, they'd be like, how does this shoe fit? And I always get weird. Like, cause that's the thing, like asking somebody if it's true to size, like it could be different for everybody, you know, like me saying like, oh, this is a true to size. And then they get it. I'm like, no, I feel like it's a little wide or a little narrow or a little this, a little that. It's weird to say for me, like how I fit the shoe, you know. I only have one brand that I've ever had the half size up, you know, on their race day shoe.
When people message me and ask me if it fit true to size, I mean, I'll say, you know, it fit true to size to me when I'm doing a review, just as a shorthand. But if people take the time to message me specifically about it, I'll say I went with my normal running shoe size and it worked for me. Because I don't know if this is their first time buying a running shoe.
Oh.
And so like they might be used to buying casual streetwear shoes or basketball shoes. And like your shoe size might be different between a basketball sizing and a running shoe size.
Yeah.
And what you feel comfortable in might be different. So if I say I went with my usual running shoe size, that will, I feel like, gives them the answer, the information that they're looking for.
It's better than my answer.
I hope.
That's much better than mine.
Marcus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marcus, I feel like our thoughts about shoes are not as valid because we don't have a wall of shoes behind us. I don't know anyone who can see this. I'm like, I would definitely trust the two guys who have the walls behind them.
I don't know. I mean, up to a point, but... Because you've probably got like a hidden wall behind there with your hidden Alpha Flies 4s, 5s, 6s that we don't know about. So
up to 30. I
find that from you, Bromco. From the guy that was the first guy to wear the carbon plated shoe. So like, no, I wouldn't take it that.
There was actually talk about testing shoes. There was some testing going on in Orlando. And I know some of the people from Nike who are testing shoes. And then I just like kindly came up to them and was like, hey guys, like you're doing testing. A lot of cameras are walking in the door. Like, I mean, you know, all of our friends from Believe in the Run walked up and I'm like, you're just going to want to be mindful of like, they're like, oh, just, they thought of his access to a bunch of authentic hardcore runners. And I was like, yeah, but like you're about to run straight into a influencer buzzsaw. You might want to watch yourself.
Yeah,
exactly. They're like, exactly.
Okay. We're shutting it down.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like going on to what you said there, I mean, even with Tracksmith, they had their new racer shoe out as well at the Olympic trials, which I want to get onto, but I just want to quickly go back to Mike real quick. And something you said as well, Tommy, like I feel the same. I feel like the worst sort of creator/influencer. People like DM me and go, what does your shoe feel like? And I'm like, I don't know. It depends. Like I've got, let me like run in it for like at least a month. They want like an instant answer. Like I wore like the Brooks Hyperion Elites for like half recently. I had people messaging me going, what's it like? I hear it's really hard. Like, I've run in it one race. Let me run it in some workouts. Let me run it on a day that I don't feel great. And then I'll come back to you. Like, do you feel the same, like not to rush your answer before actually giving an honest feedback on the shoe?
Tommy, what do you do?
So whenever people ask me like questions about like how's is it true to size, how's it feel, whenever somebody asks a question that I don't really immediately know the answer to, or I get like a moment where I feel like awkward, like I'm caught, like I don't know what to say, I just don't answer.
Yeah.
Wow.
So if anybody's listening and you've DM'd me a question that was like a good question and I just left you on scene, you know, Reddit, is because I just got nervous and aborted the mission. You know what I mean? That's all. That's funny. I don't want to talk to you. It's just because I got scared.
Can we talk about left on scene? I sometimes think like our grandparents would be like, what are you talking? You know, like,
oh, left on
you
red,
live in
yeah.
a world where like the other people can see that you've received the correspondence and that's what they're staring at. I sometimes, you know, like many people, you like, if you're able to deduce what the question's going to be without clicking on it, you're like, whew, just like I've left this bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I've yet to the ticker on this bomb is not started. I can just leave it there.
Mate,
I don't know.
There's so many layers to that though. I mean, it could be simply as the fact of like you've read it, and sometimes, you know, you get a notification, you press it by accident, and it's like a really long question. You're like, damn, I can't deal with this right now. I'll come back to it. Sometimes it's just the fact of like, oh, something else happened at the time, and you're just like, okay, I forgot to respond back.
I forgot, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't get a lot of DMs. Yeah. I don't get a lot of DMs. It's not like my DMs are blowing up like kafuzis or whatever, but like, I do, I mean, sometimes like I shouldn't be checking it while driving in the first place, but if I do check it while I'm driving, I want to be then more, layer the responsibility on top of that by not responding to you with a like long response. If it's a yes or no, maybe I'll drop one, but other than that, like I just got to try to be safe out here, guys. So it's like,
I just wish I could be in the room when they're like, how do we create more engagement with this messaging app? And they're like, some engineers like, we could put a little note in there that it's been, the message has been seen. And they're like,
no,
yeah,
what's crazy is if it's seen and then like the little three dots come up, you know, like they're answering. And it's like, it's sometimes I can almost jump into the future if I close my eyes really tight and see what they're about to say, you know? And then sometimes the dots go away and they never answer.
Yeah, like, wait a second.
What happened? Are you
okay? I know we're getting like really deep into just like social media talk and not running talk today, but I got to tell you, if I get a long question, which I generally appreciate, because then it's sometimes it's like, well, what's better, this you or that one? And I'm like,
yeah,
I don't know anything about you. You know, like, I'm assuming these are two racing shoes. I'm assuming you mean you want to race marathons in them for these marathon shoes, which you can't always assume that's what people are asking. Because then sometimes I get a follow up. So the Vaporfly is better. I spend most of my day on my feet, and occasionally I walk my dog. I'm like, oh. Then neither of the racing shoes that you mentioned is a good option, you know? So I like having
more context.
But sometimes when it's really, really long, the out is that there's usually a question somewhere buried in the front, and you just answer the first one.
Huh.
Ooh.
And so then I just answer that one, and I just disregard the rest. And then if they might follow up, but like, well, what about the rest of my, I'm like, then I might. But like, the thing that I don't like about DMs the most, though, is that as far as I know, there's no way to like mark something as unread. Yeah. And so once you look at it, you either it disappears in the flood in the stream, or like you have to respond to it right away. And so that's why I don't love DMs.
Yeah, you can unread it. You can unread.
I don't know how to do that on Instagram.
In order to unread, you slide it to the left, to slide the whole that line, and then literally hit unread.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's going to be bad for me. Also, my approach for comments and responding to stuff is don't pick anything up twice. Mm-hmm. If you already spent time to look at it, answer it. Then you're done. If you didn't have time to answer it, you shouldn't have looked at it. That's how I generally feel about it.
Don't come back. Yeah. Don't expect yourself to come back.
Then you're spending double the time on it.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot. The last thing that I'll say is sometimes I'll respond to, like, I'll comment on something, or someone will comment to me, and I'll like either like it, their comment, or just interact with it. And then you'll get like a drop down notification within Instagram, and then they'll respond back.
that I just have to turn off the app at that point. Cause I'm like, ah, oh, now we're basically chatting and we're like dangerously close to a phone call. So I'm like, phone down.
Yeah. Like as if, like, if you responded to that, your phone would ring next.
Yeah. Yeah. I just can't.
You guys really want to scare Kafuzi? Give him a phone call. Give him,
hit the call button in the app.
There's on the bottom of your phone, you know how you have like the permanent apps? Mm. Like that, yeah. No matter which screen you're on, there's that row, the tray of apps that are always there.
Yeah.
Like, I took the phone out of that years ago because I just never used my phone. Like, I don't even call my mom on my phone. We use FaceTime, you know? So it's like the phone app is not used almost at all. The only people that call me is, like, the school. If, like, my kids forgot their lunch, if, like, basketball practice is canceled for the day, you know, like that kind of thing. That's the only thing that the phone gets used for. Like, I don't have any conversations on. All conversations I have are like this, like in front of a camera. So it's just like, I don't know what I need the phone for. So you know, like anything that's like the phone where like you could, it's like, I'd rather you ring my doorbell than call me on the phone.
Oh no,
like
no.
It's equally bad. That's what I'm saying.
I'm picturing someone rings your doorbell and you have a Ring cam and like suddenly they're on a podcast.
Bro. Yeah,
I could do it from there. You got a mic. There's a mic on the Ring cam. There's a camera on you. I got my phone. We could do it that way. We don't have to talk face to face.
I mean, I agree. I think I don't know about the doorbell is like the next level. You know, like that's like those are fighting words right there. You know, but like if you just randomly call someone, if I text you, and then you call me back, you almost just. I mean, we almost just shouldn't be friends anymore because you don't understand who I am as a person.
That's super aggressive.
You know, that's like, well, yo, like I literally
welcome
text
to Matt
you
Chittum's
for,
world.
I text you for a reason. You know what I mean? So just text me back. And if you don't have time to text me back, then just text me back when you do have time. You know what I mean? Or what I really love these days, which I know you love, Mike, love audio messages. Audio messages for me is like, it's safer because you can do it while you're driving, but then also like sometimes you just have a story to tell or something to say that would be a lot of words, because if I get a long message, bro, I should be in trouble. If the only way you send me a long you need to be yelling at me the whole three paragraphs. If you're not yelling, you're just talking about like Tuesday and we're gonna go for a run, it's gonna be great in long form, then we're also not friends anymore.
I'm loving these rules, Tommy, for this. We're learning a lot about you for this.
Don't call me, don't knock him, don't ring my doorbell, and don't send me long text messages, just audio voice me.
But you know, in fairness though, I do agree with you with the phone call one though. Like for me, I need warning that you're gonna call me.
Let me know.
Like, probably just, I know it's a phone, but like don't just call me out of the blue and just like, what is this? Give me a setup. Tell me what you need, and then I'll decide whether this call is worth more.
How do you feel about? I've been becoming a fan of the out of the blue FaceTime.
Oh no, that's
dangerous territory.
That's
Peter,
even worse.
Sure.
But like the whole call thing is like if you just call me out of nowhere, and then that type of person. Sorry if you're that person, but if you're that type of person, you also say stuff like, oh, I called you earlier. Like, yo, bro, I know. Like, I was there. I had my phone all day. You know, don't. I called you earlier. Yeah, I get it. Don't try to guilt me. I text you back.
I'm just curious if you're still listening to this. You might have deduced that not a lot is going on in the running world right now. It's
no,
like
but
we
is.
Are in this. I mean, there is some stuff, but I just think it's like it's all preamble stuff. It's like, you know, that early song before the beat really gets going.
But well, I mean, like USA's was this last weekend though, right?
It's true.
So like, it's not like nothing happened. You know, there was a marathon in Spain. So
yeah, Seville,
there was some news.
There was that, there was,
a world record in the 400 indoor women's.
That's right.
That was crazy.
True. Tell us more about that. I
don't know. Was
like,
was it like
shocked.
40, was it like 48.7? Or something like that. Femke Bol. It was 48 something.
Quick.
And that was that's
faster
really
than that, but
I don't know. I'm gonna look now because
yeah, look
I
it mean, up.
I'm just dropping gems here, but they may not be real gems.
No, she definitely broke the indoor record.
She did for sure, but it was 49.24. Yeah, 49.24.
You know what I don't understand about the 400 meter hurdlers on the women's side. converting over to the flat 400 and suddenly doing well. It's like, at I mean, there was a point in their careers as runners where they were like, you could just run the flat or the hurdle. And I mean, I ran the intermediate hurdles in high school, and it was because like it took a, I wasn't fast, but I was relatively coordinated. So they're like, all right, you're not falling, so you get to do this event. Mm. But like, they must have been really fast when they were younger runners too, like Sydney McLaughlin, yeah. Femke Bolt. Like they were always fast. It's not like they just got fast. They were always fast, but like, and now all of a sudden now they're going to the, I don't understand exactly like the trajectory.
What if,
I'm having
what
a hard
if it's
time
like,
with that.
What if it's like somebody on their team or like in their area was just much faster than them at the flat out. So they like really had a better chance at finishing top and getting more recognition if they jumped over things while they ran, you know? So
it's true.
Now that
it's hard
now
to
that
imagine
stronger,
that they ever lost though. I mean, I'm hearing it. It's yeah. like, they are so preeminent in this niche event, but you're like, wouldn't you just want to run flat and be super fast? You already are super fast.
I mean, yeah. I guess that's where they're at now. Cause they're just like, I could have just not had to worry about all these hurdles this whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait a second. The horror of my life. I could have just set it aside.
Cause I do like, feel like the 400 hurdles is one of the most torturous events on the track. It's just so miserable to try and run that fast and also miserable. Maintain a step count. Like, is just mind-boggling. It's so painful. Ugh.
It looks miserable, actually. So, like, what? So, what do you? I mean, doesn't it though? Like, by the, I don't even know how many hurdles is in the thing, but by like the second to last one, it's just like, do. Like, it's like, I don't know what you guys are doing and why, but it look you're doing great. That's what I say in my head when I see him. But so, like Grant Holloway, like. Holloway, wonder how fast he would be if he just wasn't jumping over 27 hurdles in 100 meters.
I mean, he's pretty quick, but like he does that sometimes, not all the mm-hmm. time. I don't know about Grant Holloway is so good that I'm starting to get nervous. Like it's like what is his streak of indoor?
It's like forever.
It's just so many that I'm like I opened up my app and saw that he had not won the U.S. championship, and immediately I'm like, oh no. And then I go a little deeper and realize, okay, he didn't go to the final because he had a bye to the world championship because he had won the world championship because he hasn't lost in years. It takes a special type of mentality to not get tight when you've had that much success.
Wait, did he just, he just ran a world record too. Wow. Accidentally fell into a world record.
Yes, he
yeah.
did.
7.27.
Wow, I was skiing this weekend. I totally missed that. Damn.
Seven,
bad track man. Why are you listening to me? Talk about running if I don't even know what's going on.
7.27.60 with hurdles.
Can I give a shout out though, real quickly, to a friend of mine, Claire Elms. She recently ran a world W60 indoor 1500 meter record. So yeah, shout out to her. She did that in Lee Valley a little while back. So yeah, she's an incredible athlete, to be honest. So
amazing.
Yeah, shout out to Claire.
Did you see that? Did you? How'd it go down? Was it just?
No, I wasn't I wasn't there at the time. So, I mean, just giving a bit of a background to her, she kind of came into running a little bit later in life, and she's just done incredibly well. She's got loads of records. I think she's trying to get the over 60 categories, like a lot of the records now. An incredible athlete. I remember actually a couple of years ago, I was running a 5 or 10K, and she was in the same race, and we didn't know each other at the time. And, you know, you're sort of sizing people up and you just get it completely wrong. And I was looking at people, I was thinking, whatever. And she just looked so unassuming. And then I was running and she's like, it's an absolute, like, do you know what I mean? Like, she just took me down, to be honest. And I was just like, she was like, bye, to be honest. And, yeah, never judge a book by its cover, really. And, yeah, so not that we were trash talking or anything to say anything negative. But, you know, you have those assumptions sometimes when you look at people. But, yeah, she's an incredible athlete and, yeah, shout out to her. But. Yeah, rather focus on that than obviously some of the negative stuff like Mocha Tears sort of band.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, yeah. It's a bit
crazy,
we're
talking,
really.
Speaking of that, you know, dwelling on the negative, let's talk about it.
I know.
So we don't have to go that deep into it, but I thought one of my like observations about like that whole thing is like once you get caught doing that, even if you, like, say you have, like, a 2-year ban, and then even if you come back and you're still dominant and you know, like you get back to form, you really ruined like everything, because you probably would never get back to the amount of like money and like social backing that you had before. Because like for somebody like him or anybody that gets caught, like you were the guy or the lady or the what, you know, of the of that country in that area, and they like really everything was going in your direction, and then you get caught doing something like this. I don't think people like fully get behind you again after that, you know. Like, have we seen anybody get caught and then get back to like, you know, like
preeminence
in good graces, even, you know, like maybe do well, but like get back into like, we're happy for you.
That's true.
It's true. I mean, it's just crazy. I mean, that's so that.
Can you
that
see
was
Mike's like
a...
I'm sitting this one out. Face Mike's just like, I'm gonna let this pitch just sail by.
Yeah. Well, it stinks. I've never met him before, but I've seen him race a couple of times, and he's very fun to watch race.
Yeah.
And he's like a Spanish national hero. They love the guy over there. Yeah. So it's just, it sucks. You know,
it sucks
because a lot
also
of times,
the whereabouts. Sorry, I just kind
of... Yeah, for the way it goes down, it's like, all right, well, he's 2-year ban, he's not appealing the 2-year ban, you know, which means you miss out on Olympics and the next World Championships. So it's kind of like, well, why wouldn't you fight that? And so that means either you just want to get the 2 years over with, which is probably the two most important years of his running career. Or you're worried of like, all right, well, if I start going to the mat for this, what are they going to find on the mat? You know? So
right. That's
like,
a good that's, way to put it.
Right. Never heard it said like that.
So like, I don't know. I don't, you know, I don't know anything. I mean, all I've seen about his training is what's on the internet, you know?
Well,
I will say.
It stinks because you see.
He's only 26.
You go through all these things and you're just like, I just want to believe. I want to be a good track fan. I want to believe that, you know, hard work gets it done. And then the rug gets pulled out of you like again, and it's just it sucks.
His ascension was very quick. I mean, I'm not the type, I follow track, but I don't follow so fast that it's more like when other people start ringing the alarms, like he lowered his PRs too fast for people's like internal gut feeling. I will say a whereabouts failure violation, I was thinking about it, it's sort of like just like ending a game in a tie. It's like very dissatisfying. You're like, Which way are we? And you know, there's all these, you can go down a rabbit hole of what people think that means. I will say, having glanced at the comments on some of these posts, I think people should, if you're listening to this, remember, like, we can see your comments. Like, people, they're like people came out of the forest with their pitchforks for this guy, and I'm like, that's fine, you can feel things, but when you say them like people are saying them on the internet last week, I was like, that's not a good look for you or you or you. It's just like so negative. There was a whole sort of like a little bit of, what would you call it, drama in the Portland running scene, because last year Mo Katir was highlighted on some social post, and this guy from Portland came after him in the comments and said like he was dirty, and Mo just got into the comments and was like, what's good with you, bro? Like, what's wrong with your life? And so suddenly this like local guy from Portland was going back and forth with one of the best runners in the world, and everyone's just like screenshotting it, sending around like, is this real life? Like, this is happening? And you're just like, it's not a good look really in any direction. So just a reminder, we can read those things.
Yeah,
so I was gonna make a good point though about like not responding back though.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I think like you're saying, like they just, that's what they want to listen. Once you're in it, you're just like, you're never gonna win. So
it's not a place you want to be. Yeah. I for anyone listening, I sent around to the team that SNL skit that came out recently. That was, it's like a fake game show called "Why'd You Say That?" Why'd you say that? And they just, the whole premise of the show is they just bring people on and then pull up some social post and say like, so question is, why'd you say that?
And then they lie.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it was a butt post. It was actually, I got hacked. They're like, incorrect.
Yeah.
I just want to be seen and heard. It's like,
ding, ding, ding. Yeah, like, I'd had a couple drinks and I was angry. That's actually the answer.
But on a good note, because you guys wanted to harp on this negative part, which I don't know why you did that. But Rory Linkletter had a great race in Seville, right?
That's right.
That was a PR for him, right? It was what?
Yeah, that's a PR for him, and it was under the Olympic standard. And so I don't know how things go in Canada in terms of selecting teams, but I think that pretty much puts him at a lock to make the team. They already announced Cam Levins as being the number one spot for them, which no one was surprised about that. And then I think Rory, he went to Seville specifically for the purpose of getting that time. So that way he could lock up that invitation to join Team Canada in Paris. So I'm hoping that we'll see another announcement, you know, soon. I don't know how it works. It's weird that they announce a man and a woman for the marathon team, and I guess it's like a rolling admissions process going in up there. So hopefully he'll get his letter, thick envelope, pretty soon.
Yeah, come on.
208.01.
Wow.
I know. I mean, if you're Rory, you're like, couldn't you have run 2 seconds faster? Wouldn't you rather be a 2.07 guy than 208? You know?
Man.
But I'm sure he's pretty happy about it.
No,
it's a long straightaway.
I think next day he's like, where did I lose that 2 seconds at?
Yeah.
You know, 2 seconds. Yeah. You got that. When I was in Boston last year, like that, I was coming down that last stretch, which just seemed like it was just getting longer and longer as I was running. And I started like telling myself, like, get there. Like I was yelling to myself, which is ridiculous. But I was like, get there. And I kept thinking, like, you don't want to have something like 0.00 or 0.01 or 0.03. And I ended up running 59. So it was like the 2:46:59. And it feels weird saying I'm a 2:46 guy because I'm like really more like a 2:47 guy. But hey, it is what it is, you know.
I ran a 0.00 in Boston last year.
Oh.
3:04:00.
Somebody's playing like, with
one more second. That's crazy. One more second.
It is funny when people have to say hi.
Like, oh yeah,
like Tom, you're in a 2:46 high. You're like, ooh, like God, do you not like the guy? Like,
it is definitely 2:46 low is definitely better than 2:46 high for sure. No, like if you dove, you would that have been a 3:03:59 for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. It just feels like a 3:03 something sounds so much better than a 3:04.
You should have dove.
It's a chip I have on my shoulder. I'll just have to carry that around for a while.
What kind of chip? Mm.
Just a little chip.
Yeah, so we had a conversation on a PR project yesterday. We literally talked about chips on shoulders, and we asked everybody, like, what kind of chip would you have on your shoulder?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. What chip do you have? That's a good question. Give me an example.
Barbecue. My immediate was barbecue Lays. Gary's was Ruffles, and then Aaron's was nacho plain? Cheese. Which it makes sense. Like he looks like a plain Ruffle. Okay. and then Aaron was a nacho cheese Dorito.
Okay.
Having hung out with Gary, we're not going to sit here and let you put disrespect on his name.
He said it, not me. He said he was a Ruffle.
Oh, okay.
You know. These are
just
real
the way
quotes.
You represented it. That was a dig. He's like, Gary's gonna have to listen deep into this. I feel like bad that we just glossed over saying that there was a USA Indoor Championship. I don't know how to feel, to be totally honest, about a USA Indoor Championship. It's like, it's a weird in between meh. And like, I would never want to, if you won, what's the woman? Oh man. The woman who won the 800, she's unsponsored. She like left her team to follow her coach to stick. Like, it's a cool story, and which is why I wish I remembered her name. But U.S. indoors is a particularly an Olympic year where everyone's focused on making the team in July, in June. They're like, it leaves you just wondering. It's like, okay, so it's cool to see when people are fit, and hopefully they'll be bringing it this summer when we're all out in Eugene. That's how I feel. How do you guys feel?
It's exciting, and it's also still an indoor meet at the same time. You know, I wish, or what do they call it now? Short track.
Short track.
Is that what they call it? Like speed, with speed skating, right?
Yeah.
So like whatever we're calling indoor now, like
I wish there were a better way to get more into it, because I like the size of the venue is fun. It has all the ingredients for a really fun spectator sport. It's just I don't know how to place it in context with other things. And I understand USA's indoors. I understand the context of that, because then you get to go to World Indoors, right?
Yeah.
But then it's still like, I still feel like Melrose Games is still pretty fun. I like watching the meets that they have at BU or they have at the track with New Balance, you know, up there. Yeah. Those are all fun, but they all seem kind of like equivalently preparatory for outdoor season. Yeah. You know, so it's like, it's exciting because it's fun to see our heroes run, but I don't understand. Like, I still don't understand like the weight to put on any of these performances, because it's a part of something else that it's not consistent for everyone. What that something else
is. Competition is fun. So it's like, oh, who beat who? We sort of, beauty of the trials or something like that is, you know, everyone who could be there was there. Like, no one skips it to do something else. If they're injured, they can't be there. So that occurs. But indoor, you go, so-and-so won the mile. Like, who else decided to show up? It's like a little bit. Womp womp. There we go.
All right. Can we just like move on outside of America? Because there are athletics happening in the UK. Yeah. For God's sake, we've had the Olympic trials. This is like Christmas extended.
Just keep dragging it out.
Another month. It's like, all right, we get it. All right. Shout out to Phil Seedsman as well. You know, got the Olympic qualifier as well, 2804.
How do you say his last name? Say it again.
I said Seedsman.
Seedsman. You tell me, because I feel like I probably say it wrong. I think I said it wrong.
I think it's Seedsman. To be honest. Okay. Shout out to him. Even though I probably got your name incorrect the first time around. 2804. You know, he's been putting in the work, and yeah. One thing I did want to ask, obviously, Mike and Tommy, because you've both got these shoes as well. Like, he was wearing the super Adidas shoes. Like, mm-hmm. How do you find them, like, wearing them? And, like, yeah, what's your sort of thoughts? I know we're going back to the question before, like, you know, give it some time, but first, like, reviews and post-reviews.
There's not much time you can give those, so.
One race and you're done.
Yeah, I mean, I raced Houston in them. I ran the half marathon in the shoes, and I think that they're super fun. They remind me a lot of a Takumi Sen, but just lighter, basically lighter and a little bit more cushion to them, but dynamics wise it kind of feels very much like that. I don't think that I would want to run in those shoes for a marathon. I just feel like they're too aggressive for me. But someone that is running a marathon in 2 hours and 8 minutes rather than 3 hours probably feels like they're the right amount of aggressive. And I've always been saying, like, the real miracle about the shoes is that they just feel so incredibly light. So it feels like you're getting all that same stuff with just nothing on your feet. I feel like it's, if it works for your mechanics, it can be a really good benefit for you to be able to run that shoe. It's a lot of fun. But like on the other end of the spectrum, when Rory Linkletter ran his race, he ran them in the Puma Fast R2s, and that's one of the heavier race day shoes that are out on the market right now. And so, you know, like, I feel like at the 2 hour mark for marathoning, you know, I think that like weight makes a big difference, but it's not dispositive, you know, it's not the end all be all, you know? So, I mean, I guess you could say if Rory had a shoe that weighed like almost half as much, would he have run faster? I don't know. Maybe he would have gotten under the, yeah, instead of a 2:08:01, he would have been at 2:07:59. Maybe that's a 2 seconds, but you know, that shoe is a lot of fun to run in.
I have the shoe. It's very pretty. I just haven't run in it yet because it's just, I haven't even put them on my feet. I just put them nicely back in the boxes, like, as they
say. Sorry, can we just have a little pause like there? Can we have a little pause?
So intimidating.
Like, Mike gave like a proper like breakdown, and then your first call was like, "They're very nice." It's like,
that's like literally. Detail. No, that's like literally.
He hasn't tried them. He hasn't tried them.
I haven't tried them.
Okay.
They're still in the
Marcus, this is like, Tommy is running the Boston Marathon, which is sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah.
Adidas sent him like the most hyped shoe in the world, but he's like, maybe he just wants to like feel like invited. Like, he wants to be like a little bit like warmed up to like.
Yeah.
No. That's not how it works.
I just want to feel like you mean it.
Oh my god. No, it's
are you gonna run Boston
out.
In them?
I think so, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why I don't wanna like wear them now. And mm-hmm. you know, like so I'm gonna wear them closer to Boston. I gotta get through two other marathons first before I start like teasing like myself with what shoe's gonna be next. You know, I don't wanna be thinking about it in my sleep, you know what I mean? You don't wanna be at mile 20 thinking about like, damn, I should have worn this other shoe, you know what I mean? So yeah, I haven't tried them on yet. That's it, like yeah. And that's the cool thing. Wait, like,
Are you concerned that if you wore those shoes now, that for the Mizuno Osaka Marathon that you're racing this next weekend, that you would feel doubts about your shoe choice?
No, actually, no. I love. Have you tried the Pro 2 yet, Mike?
No, I have not. No one has sent me one.
You liked the first one, right?
I did like the first one. I sent an email. I have not heard anything back. You know, I'll buy them when I can, I guess.
I'm a text Mr. Mizuno. So no, like I liked the pro one. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I felt like it was fun, but just not as like I needed a little bit more like acceleration feel to it, or a little more bounce, I guess, in the right spot, I think.
Okay.
And the next version of that, like, did that 100%. I was telling, like, I actually love the shoe. Like, It's way up there for me for some reason. Like the way that my stride works and the way that they have like there's where the rocker is, it's where when I land on the right spot, like Peter was talking about, like you get that like that sweet spot, you feel like you absolutely feel it, like every step you can feel the shoe if you're landing right. So I'm really excited about that. But I was kind of just joking. But like that's what when I ran Berlin, I didn't have the, you know, they came out with the what's it called? The Evo 1. They came out with that right before Berlin. I didn't have the shoe, but they let me hold the shoe. And they were about
to. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
So, like, I'm lacing them up race day morning, just like looking down, like, man, I wish these were the other shoe. You know?
Okay.
I'm not a huge fan of the Adidas Pro 3 or the Adizero Pro 3. I'm not a big fan.
Oh, you don't like that one?
No, not really.
Different stride. Like,
yeah, different yeah, shed. Just yeah. I don't compress it enough to do anything for me. I don't think.
Did I tell you guys my Adidas experience where they sent out some of those shoes before Boston last year, and that little cutaway where they show the rods?
Yeah,
like it's for whatever reason my stride actually I like toe off there, so I was like,
oh, the little
falling over the edge of the shoe. Okay. I'm like, this unnecessary. I mean, it's a cool little design detail, but it. I was like, man, that was an unfortunate, we weren't meant to be, I handed them to my friend and,
That's why I'm not fast is because I didn't even notice that was a thing. I need to figure out how to get my toe off right there. I get to be Bromka fast.
I handed him over to a friend. He's like, these are great. So, okay. Different strokes.
Yeah.
All right. What else is going on in Europe, Marcus, before the evening sets in? We want to know.
I don't know. I need to get my candle out and just roam the streets and come back to you guys on that one.
Is that a
but jokes aside? But jokes aside, though, actually, one thing I did want to bring up, actually, talking about the drug stuff, and this is like a positive and negative side. There's a guy called Dwayne Chambers, and he was a sprinter. He still is a sprinter, and you know, he had some things happen in the past. And, you know, he's actually doing some really good things. Like I've seen him like Lee Valley. He's got his own coaching thing. He helps a lot of the kids and stuff. And, you know, people give him grief, but like he still fronts up to it. And he's like, you know, I did this and it is what it is. And he came on, I think it was Athletics Weekly. It was a post. And he said something really important that I thought that people would miss. And it was something along the lines of he was competing in the weekend. I think it was like 60 meters. And they asked him a question about like, how does your training go? And he talked about the importance as he's got older. About prioritizing recovery over trying to do too much. He said it took him like 2 years to stop actually, you know, trying to do too much, do the mileage it was doing before. And the first comment, and it was like some minute going, yeah, but you're still a drugs cheat. I was like, for God's sake, man. Like, this is years ago. Get over it. Like, what he said there is actually really important. And like, you need to move over the stuff. So, yeah, it was. It's just crazy, like how people just don't forget that. Like that guy would have never said it to his face, like if he was interviewing there and then. So,
Yeah, people, I think a lot of times we just like get in this thing where we act like we never make mistakes before. Like, in some people's mistakes are just more broadcast than others because they're in a position that, to be broadcasted. But like, I haven't, you know, cheated like in a race to get to be a better or whatever, but I've done things that like that were wrong and I knew were wrong when I did it or whatever. I had my reason at the time, but people just sit there and like high horse it from a phone. It's just people want like engagement. They want to talk. They want to like be better than somebody, but it's not, that's not what it's about, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
Some of us have seen this, what would we call it? The Summit of Minds out on the road this weekend. You had multiple YouTubers covering one epic long run. Oh. it sounded like it was a summit of sorts. How many cameras? How many microphones? This is a beautiful morning.
There was, so over the weekend, Eric Floberg and Matt Inglis Fox of Sweat Elite all came out to Crystal Lake to go for a long run, and I had a big camera, and then Eric brought his videographer Cyrus, who had a camera and a gimbal, and I think Matt just had his phone, and then I do think that Eric was mic'd up for it, so because he's been documenting he's getting ready for Boston. He's making that a PR run. Matt's going to be running Boston as well. He's not running it at PR pace, but I think he's going to end up running pretty close to what Floberg is trying to run. So I don't think those guys had met before. And the way that it worked out was, I've been watching Eric's build up to Boston, and he was concerned because where he lives is very flat. And I know he's not in the city anymore. He's moved out with his family to the suburbs, but closer suburbs than my suburb. And he was complaining that I was too flat. And I was like, well, I messaged him like, I know a place that is not that far. It's not close, but where there are decent hills to help you get ready for Boston. I used it last year. And so I was like, he's like, yeah, well, what are you doing Saturday? I got 18 miles on. I'm like, well, I'm not going to run 18 miles at your pace, but I'll watch you.
Yeah.
And around that same time, Matt had messaged me letting me know that he had moved to Chicago, which I didn't know that he was doing that. And so I was trying to connect him already with some, I'm trying to think, who's as fast as Matt in Chicago that I know? I know there are fast runners in Chicago. I don't know them all. Right. Yeah. But I'm like trying to like connect him with people. And I was like, hey, Eric's coming out. I think you know who Eric is. Like, Eric's coming out this weekend. Do you want to join? He's like, yeah, come on. So that's how it ended up happening together. So I followed those guys around in the car. It was 11 degrees Fahrenheit at the start in the dark because Eric had to start really early. But they got it done, and they, you know, it's amazing because they're kind of like easy long run pace. Well, I think that was easy for Matt, and then like a little bit harder than easy for Eric because Eric's like a 230. He's shooting for 235 in Boston.
Yeah,
Matt's like a 220 guy, right? And so like, their definitions of easy are very different, but that's my race pace.
Yeah.
So like, it's just really, it's always amazing to see very fast runners run effortlessly at something that, like, if I were to videotape myself doing it, it would be intense, like war music, you know?
Yeah. Dun-dun-dun-dun.
Fast cuts, slow motion, you know, and they're just chatting. They're just having a regular conversation, having an easy time of it. I'm like, do you guys need bottles? They're like, nah, I brought a couple gels. And I'm like, no, you need to have a gel every 4 miles.
You're flying right now.
And yeah. So that was kind of like really fascinating to see. And it was just kind of cool to have some people who like enjoy running and also filming running as much as I do. So it's just nice to kind of like talk shop. In a different, I mean, I talk shop with you guys too, but like,
no, but they're like,
just
a different level,
different subset, you know? And so it's like, sure. It's just nice to have some more buddies, you know?
Yeah.
And no one's come out to visit me in out here because I'm far, far suburbs, you know? I tell people I'm closer, I'm closer to Wisconsin than I am to Chicago.
Oh,
so, so like, it's just nice to have people come out and see where I normally make my videos. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I'm a fan of, I saw YouTube served up to me, you know, a big, like, I'm going for when the algorithm serves you a man saying like, I'm going to shoot for sub 235 at Boston and it's January, you're like, damn, all right. Like,
yeah,
it's exciting. Yeah. It's like, okay, we'll see. Mm-hmm. Matt is Marcus's coach and has been on Relay with us talking about things. He very painstakingly has said he's wanted to break 220 over and over and over.
Man.
And like many of us around the world, he's traveled the world quite a bit. And so then he's collected, you know, friends and followers from around the world. So like when he's gone out and just blown sky high and walked 10, I mean, he has probably the record for like the fastest races finished while like, you're like, oh, 223. Oh, I walked for 4 kilometers. And you're like, what pace were you on? Like, I would not wish the amount of muscle cramping that Matt has experienced and documented in detail on any of my enemies. It sounds rough, but it's, you know, it's fun when people are like, this is what I'm shooting for. I'm like, oh, it's a nerve wracking in an exciting way. Good for stories.
I think fair play to him though. Like he's gone on and like talked about going for that sub 220 goal for quite a while now. And even in his current series now, like he's got like one of the coaches that joined Sweat Elite. This is not a plug, by the way. He talks about like the stuff that he's doing differently to try and find that extra step to move forward. So, you know, I listened to that on a recent run. I thought that's quite interesting. So, yeah, that's pretty cool. But also shout out to Eric as well. Like to see like his progress, I know Matt's kind of similar as well from like sub 3 to like where he is now. It's just incredible. And the way he shoots it is just amazing. So yeah, fair play to those guys.
It'll be cool. I mean, I think about guys like him when I think of, you know, I'm teaching this whole workshop on Boston and I talk to people about like, all right, but as we get closer, you got to prepare for, it could be cold and rainy. It could be 74 degrees. And Eric will have said like 235 is the goal back in December, January. So like, you know, and it, to each their own, you can make adjustments and make the most of your day, but you're like, it's out there. And it, I'm sure it adds a lot of excitement, but it's also like, oh man, lots to prepare for.
I feel like Bromka needs to be in his series because like the crossing of wisdom would be amazing to this.
Oh, I guess, I mean, I'll probably see him out there one way or another. You know, that's where you, yeah. Mike, I keep thinking of, I think, was it a reel or some post you put up? A lot of stuff that comes through my mind around influencers or people online, I think, like, you said, what do I know, man? I'm a grown man who's running around with a selfie stick, like, documenting my experience. It's like, let's not over project, like, you know, that's what I think of. Like, Eric is like, I'm going for it. But, like, I'm also, like, a dad and, you know, working and just, like, throwing it all in on this goal. So I'm sure that many of us who will be at Boston will be aware that he's trying to do that and, you know, we'll look for him out there in Hopkinton.
Yeah, it'll be fun. And I'm going this year, but I'm not running. So I'm going to try and figure out like I have to start thinking about like what's the spectator plan, you know, because it's like point to point races are so hard because it's like you can't see everyone. You have to make decisions of who you are and aren't going to see, which is always hard.
It's very brutal. Yeah. If you want to see someone more than once or twice, then you're not seeing the other people. That's pretty brutal. But from a runner's weekend, you should curate it through like what will give us the best runner's weekend YouTube video experience.
Yeah. I mean, usually not the front of the pack. So that kind of makes the decision-making a little bit easier, but, it'll be tough. I've heard people that try to get around and bounce around on the course, but that too means you're definitely making a lot of decisions there too of who you're not going to see, you know? So we'll see.
Yeah.
I think all of us are going to be there, right? Yeah, Tommy and Marcus, you guys are running.
Yeah.
Peter, you're running this year too, right?
Yeah, we'll all be there. We were pressuring Laura on the last call to be out there.
Oh, okay.
Because I think she just hadn't, she's like any normal person who looked at flight prices and we're like, oh man. We were encouraging her to get creative because we're like, we need you out there. We need that, you know, perspective with the team. But no, it'd be great. Guys, I like chopping it up with all of us. There's a lot to cover.
I hope that people that are walking, running, jogging, working, sleeping, maybe not sleeping, folding clothes, whatever. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Are we gonna, Tommy, when are we gonna see you next? Or are we gonna get you to call in from Asia?
I mean,
this clock.
The time differences probably work out fairly okay though. Like I'll just be the day ahead, you know. So
It's not great.
No, what do you mean? It's exactly the opposite of the clock.
It's like it's 2 hours. It's 14 hours.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, it's 3 a.m. in Tokyo right now.
3 a.m.? That's what 14 hours is. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never mind. You're right, guys. I'm not going to see you guys for a while.
We're going to miss.
Yeah, so I'll be back. I'll be back after Tokyo. So I'll be back at like on like the 4th or 5th of March.
You'll be a new man by then, having run two marathons, taking a whole new culture.
Yeah, I'll leave tomorrow, and then I'll be gone for 13 days.
Oh, man.
Okay. That's going to be wild. Have you been to Japan before?
I have not. I have not. So
that'd be cool.
Have fun. Have so much fun.
Yeah. I got to go ask Duolingo how to ask, is this vegan? And
You can get your passport name, though. Not Tommy Runs, because you might confuse people.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Definitely going passport name. So I don't want to. Yeah, I don't want to get stuck over there somewhere. You know. Yeah, like I almost. I did a brand registered me for a race, and they sent it over, with the name Tommy Runs on the registration, and I was like, let's not do that because I don't want to be standing like a dummy trying to show them my Instagram. This is me. See?
Yeah. I swear.
Trust me. I swear. But yeah. So I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome, man. We're looking forward to hearing all about it, and we'll have you on here. I'm sure you'll document a little bit on the go. I'm sure we'll be able to check in here and there. Yeah. Okay.
Just a little bit here and there. Yeah.
Thanks for listening, friends, and we'll see you around.